Welcome to the Butts and Seats podcast, episode number 136.
Woo!
Yeah. I'm Nick alongside a something, Emily.
I don't want to do this. You're telling me to use this. I'm going to use this.
Yeah, today we are talking about the second and final of the two Australia Nitros. It's
fucking bad.
Nitro Down Under, which they really hit this week, and I like didn't hit it as much last week.
Well, last week they were also more focused on the fact that they were in Australia. They went and like showed footage of the landscapes, of excursions they went on. This one, it was like, here's a street in Melbourne. That's it.
We got it here and there,
not
but
much.
Yeah, definitely. It felt less propaganda-y.
Yeah, it was just like, well, we're here.
Not our last international Nitro.
How?
There's going to be an England one in about a month.
With what money?
I don't know, but that's where...
Is Stevie Ray on fucking commentary again?
I'll get to that in the in the weather report.
I hope the weather report says that he's fired.
No. That show is going to line up with Millennium Final, which I've mentioned on the podcast before. I finally found a actual like rip of this.
What is Millennium Final?
It is the German-only pay-per-view. Like, it's,
oh, you never said the name of it.
It's a weird name, but yeah, I found a version that has... the commentary in German. I have no interest in doing that as a full episode, but when we get to that in the timeline, we'll watch it and give a little, you know.
We're going to watch it?
Fine. But
it's in German.
We will or I will. I'll give a little snap report, like one of these.
I don't think that that has subtitle capabilities. I don't think we'll understand anything that's going on.
If Kevin Nash hits a power bomb, I don't have to go Uber bomb.
That was great. Well, call my dad. My dad speaks German. He can translate.
I cannot imagine having your father watching this show trying... I guess the thing is, it's not Tony and Mark, so I don't need him to translate Snoochie Boochies back from German.
He would have no idea where to even start with that.
Emily, let's get into the usual bits for all these shows.
Oh, God. Ratings, attendance...
I don't have
backstage.
I actually don't have attendance, but they claim it's sold out at one point, and it didn't look it. I mean,
I feel like it's biased because this is it's a wrestling show in a place that wrestling does not often come to.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter if it's shit.
Yes,
the fans still are gonna show.
Emily, it's almost like you're figuring out why they went there in the first place.
But it's so expensive; they have no money.
Well, again, this would have been profitable if they didn't do that stupid deal.
Remind me of the deal
where. They would buy back any unsold seats, but because there's a set, anything behind the set is unsold seats.
Oh, yeah? That was stupid.
Today's Nitro is the October 16th, 2000 WWE Monday Nitro. Only two removed from Vince Russo, and Jesus.
It feels it for the worse, I think, because this, once again, feels like a house show, but less so than last week. Last week was bad.
Oh, I thought this felt more like a house show.
No, I disagree. Last week felt more like a house show. This felt like they are just buying time.
Yeah, we're in Melbourne, Australia. TV across the board was down. Raw did a 4.8 to Nitro's 2.3. But again, that's down for like everything, apparently. No one knows why.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of like October. What would be going on, like football, but...
Not... I mean,
Monday Night Football.
Yeah, I guess.
Maybe.
And then MLB playoffs, maybe, but.
Yeah.
But let's get into the backstage now. It's not like I only have a small handful this time. Apparently, the October 5th WCW Thunder was advertised to start at 8:35 due to like a NASCAR race or something.
Okay.
Fans tuned in and they had already been on the air for 35 minutes.
What the fuck?
They started normal time.
This was Thunder?
Yes.
Jesus.
Vince Russo claims that his doctor has banned him from leaving the house until November 16th.
Do doctors have the capability of doing that?
You know what I mean. It's like, I advise you don't do anything.
The way he said it is like the doctor put him on house arrest.
Oh, good transition, house arrest. Now that Scott Hall has been cleared, he's been released.
No kidding.
He is formally not under contract anymore.
As of this episode that we're watching right now.
Yeah.
This happened prior to this episode.
Yes.
Interesting. No, fuck, I'm thinking of TNA. God damn it. Yeah. No, am I? Fuck, there's too many timelines. There was some line where Scott, or Kevin Nash said, like, you gotta bring Scott back. I'm drinking his share.
Yeah, that was this show.
Was that this show? Yeah. Okay. Too many timelines with the same fucking people.
Hey, we're done with TNA now. As we mentioned previously, ECW has been officially canceled on TNN. And the current plan was for them to go to the USA Network because WWE's not there anymore. Mm-hmm. But that has been nixed by the Parents Television Council.
Oh.
They were like, oh, you thought? No. So
I don't think I knew that the Parents Television Council was a thing.
That is what the Right to Censor is parroting.
Oh.
They're the PTC versus the RTC.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
But I thought there was a way around that where ECW could air at like 11 p.m. on a Friday.
They don't care. They don't want on it, period.
Okay.
This is the same group that saw the Al Snow doll, and it's like, it's promoting violence towards women.
The mannequin head?
Yeah.
Jesus.
In upcoming weeks, WCW is going to be doing an angle with the stars from the TV show Battle Dome.
Sure.
I know this is a thing, because apparently, I don't know if he actually wrestles a match, but Terry Crews is on the show Battle Dome and will appear on WCW television.
Okay.
And then lastly, at a talent meeting at Nitro, wrestlers were instructed on many things they can no longer say on television. Specifically, maybe don't reference toss salads, Richard Gere, gerbils.
Potatoes.
Yeah, basically in short, like, hey, stop with the homophobia.
Stop putting Conan on commentary.
Yeah, literally, it's like every example.
Stop letting Conan do promos.
And we felt that a lot on this show, because they didn't censor it last week, so I don't think it's Australia. So much of this show got censored.
It got most. There was so much bleeping, like not the buzzing beeping, but like
just cut out
sound, like full mute. It was weird.
And middle fingers getting like big circle blurred.
Yeah, we'll see if that's a thing moving forward. Because I was hopeful that it was just like an Australia thing,
but they didn't do it last week. So
yeah, I don't know.
Let's then move into the weather report, where there's always thunder. Yeah, I don't know how much longer the weather report's going to be, because I think now that Russo's gone, they're back to not giving a shit about thunder.
They gave a shit about thunder before?
I mean, for bits here and there, they would do things. To tell you how little this show mattered, the thunder before this got taped before the previous Nitro.
So their filming schedule went thunder, Nitro, Nitro, thunder?
Technically, I would have gone back in the U.S., Nitro, thunder, Australia, Thunder, Nitro, Thunder, Nitro.
Where it should be the opposite. It
yes.
Be Nitro, Thunder, Nitro, Thunder. Jesus.
Because the next Thunder has already been taped by this show.
That's weird.
Tells you how important and, you know, continuity is.
Yeah, I guess not.
Which is also the fucking word of the day on this show.
Yeah, what the fuck are they
doing? The continuity of tag matches.
We'll get to it when we get to it. Because, yeah, that's the first time I've heard somebody use the word continuity in a wrestling terminology.
So speaking of things that don't go anywhere, Sam Greco, who we saw last week, he was like a karate person.
Oh, okay.
He got physically evolved in an angle. This is meant to lead somewhere, but never does.
Cool. Thanks for playing, Sam.
Lieutenant Loco and Corporal Cajun won the tag team titles.
Wow.
Like, actually won them. Mike Sanders goes, all right, we're doing the rematch right now, and the Thrillers win it back.
Yeah, no kidding.
This is so important, I don't believe they mentioned it on Nitro.
Yeah, no, I don't think they did.
We got the Lava Lamp Lounge with Kiwi and Paisley. Goes how you think. Mike Awesome hits on Paisley. Kiwi doesn't like it. And then the Natural Born Thrillers and the Harris Boys attack them.
Is Crowbar involved in the Lava Lamp Lounge?
No, that's still just Mike Awesome.
That's okay. Your boy can die there. That's fine.
Goldberg faced Chuck Palumbo, and Goldberg pinned both him and Sean Stasiak to go to 7-0.
Great.
Jeff Jarrett did Surfer Sting again. Coming out to Metallica again. However, this would have been before the other Surfer Sting.
Which also gotten zero mention in the Nitro that we're going to talk about.
Yeah. In a very similar match to this show, Scott Steiner squashes Rey Mysterio, does a lot of the same moves he does in the match later. And the announcers plug his show in England next month, and Stevie Ray is like, I don't want to go to that.
Did he say that on commentary?
Pretty much, in so many words. And the main event ends in a regular clusterfuck. Everyone runs in, finish.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that's Thunder. I really don't feel the need to note most of the matches or anything from now.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I guess it's going to be kind of up to you when we stop talking about Thunder. But
I'll peek in. We only review one more, and it's really the last one.
Like, sit down, talk about review?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus. I forgot that we were even going back to Thunder.
It makes sense to me to do the last Thunder.
Yeah, no, it totally does. Oh, my God. I can't imagine that's going to be a good show.
I mean, that's the last, I guess, show in, like, continuity, because the Final Nitro is a weird state of, like, it's all title matches, and it's the last, like, everyone knows the last one, so.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. It's we're getting into a very weird era here.
We're in the Island of Misfit Toys, it feels like.
Oh, God, yeah.
Emily, you ready for our main show?
If we must.
WWE Monday Nitro opens with glamour shots of Australia, then the lengthy Nitro opening, which we each have tells for how we know it's the same one.
Yeah, your tells are a little bit more than mine. I just, the music is just bad, so I know that if I have the same complaint of, wow, this is bad music, oh, it's the same as last week.
Yes, my two ones are the fireworks going back in behind Billy Kidman, which I remember noting was a metaphor for his push. And Kevin Nash's blinky Terminator eyes.
Yeah, the weird cyborg eye thing that they do.
Tony Schiavone claims it's sold out, and the commentary tonight is Tony Schiavone, Mark Madden, and Stevie Ray again.
Fucking cursed trio. Yeah, Tony Schiavone is just fighting for his life on this whole episode.
He multiple times like, I'm trying here, fans. Tony Schiavone, I think like at some point needs to get an honorary MVP.
Oh, I agree.
This might be the night.
You know, maybe. I really do feel for him. Sometimes I feel like I need to cut to him and he's just like got a glass of scotch and a cigarette in his hand.
Admittedly, it might be him because we have 10 matches tonight.
Good God, were there 10?
Yes, I went back and looked. It's like there are 10 matches. Starting with match number one, it's the Boogie Knights, who are apparently faces now, versus Mark Jindrak and Sean O'Hare in another tag team title match. We see a recap of last week's match, completely skipping over the fact that the other Natural Born Thrillers came in and beat down the Boogie Knights.
Oh yeah, totally cut that out.
It just looks like, oh, the Thrillers won.
Well, no, it looks like Boogie Knights won, Mike Sanders restarted the match, and then the Thrillers just won with no contest.
Yes. Alex Wright grabs a mic, speaks German to booze. It's like, okay.
I mean, yeah, you can't understand what he's saying. And like, I have a tangential knowledge of the German language, and even I was having a hard time picking out words. Like, were you just... he might have been, like, speaking hybrid gibberish.
He is German.
Is he actually, like, legitimately really German?
Yes.
Okay, maybe it's just in a dialect that I don't know. Because I thought that he was, like, German the same way that Paul Levesque is French. Yeah.
Disco then grabs the mic and says the Cat has banned the other Natural Born Thrillers from ringside. And it's like, okay. I guess you and the Cat are good now?
I don't.
Match starts, Disco hits a running neckbreaker, and we get a loud graphic for Halloween Havoc. I feel like they did fix this by the end of the show, but the first one, it was like...
I mean, they've never had subtle graphics. I remember thinking this for, like, multiple pay-per-views ago, too. Like, years ago.
I'm wondering if there is some sort of, like, AI upscaling on Peacock, because the graphic looked crisp, and the footage did not.
It's possible.
On commentary, Mark Madden and Stevie Ray discuss Alex Wright being a wonder kid.
Wonder kid.
Yes.
Wonder kid.
He's bald. Not, how can he be a wonder kid?
Not Wunderkind, which is what his actual title is. Wonder kid. You fucking Americans.
You have not watched it, but there is a whole joke and storyline and thing about this in Ted Lasso.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I really need to watch Ted Lasso.
The commentary continues to have no chemistry because both Mark Madden and Stevie Ray need to be the funniest and smartest person in the room.
Yep.
And I will...
You okay?
I will praise Mark Madden.
What are you doing?
I have never gotten the vibe that Mark Madden is ill-informed. Mark Madden is being a fucker, and he knows it. Stevie Ray doesn't fucking know anything.
Okay.
Oh, God, I didn't watch him in TNA this past week.
Oh, yeah, in 2025 he was on?
Yeah.
Yeah, you sent me that. That's weird. There's no way he could have been the Mark Madden of yesteryear. There's no way.
True. I feel like we would have heard about it.
Yeah, if he got on TNA and started going snoochy boochies, we would have fucking heard about it.
There is a match going on here, but I cannot pay attention to it. Mark Jindrak hits a top rope Frankensteiner, and I'm like, what's commentary doing? Disco makes tag to Alex Wright on the top rope. Stevie Ray is like, how is that legal? How could he make a tag to the guy's already up top? And I'm like, dude, we're so far past that.
Have you ever watched any... Like, I need Stevie Ray to just go away.
Yeah. I did find a list of, like, who does commentary on all the shows. He's not on too many.
Too many? So he comes back?
He's here... He's back here and there, but not most of them. We get a ref bump. Disco moves out of the way of a springboard splash. Hits a chart buster. Disco covers Jindrak, but Chronic come out. It's like, okay. Chronic take out the Boogie Knights. O'Hare hits a Shauntaun bomb from off camera. He just comes flying in. And Sean O'Hare gets the win.
They banned the Natural Born Thrillers from ringside and Mike Sanders from ringside. They did not ban the Hired Guns.
Yes, the APA. Sorry, Chronic.
Yeah, Chronic.
Oh, what's their new catchphrase? Breaking necks and cashing checks.
Yeah, I think you're right, yeah.
Fuck off.
They haven't broken a single neck.
Backstage, the Thrillers and Kevin Nash chat. Kevin Nash, like, I'm hungover. I don't want to work tonight.
So, yeah, in this whole thing, he's very clear about that. He's like, I don't want to work. You, Mike Sanders, had the ability for me to not work. I don't want to work. Cool? Mike Sanders, yeah, totally got it. No worries, Kev. Sit there, just chill out. It's all good. 30 seconds later?
Well, he does tell Sanders, like, go bully the cat, basically. And I think this is where he notes, I've been drinking for two.
Okay, maybe.
We see Goldberg is here, and then, back from commercial, the Thrillers are with the cat and Miss Jones. Mike Sanders has some comment about Miss Jones's hair.
Oh, I missed that.
And Sanders pitches, what if we did Kevin Nash versus Sting?
30 seconds after Kevin Nash is like, hey, don't make me wrestle tonight.
Yeah.
You got it, Big Kev.
Yeah. I don't get why. Why is that Sanders' plan?
I don't know.
But I don't have faith in them telling a cohesive story here, so.
You could have just stopped it. I don't have faith.
Kat makes the match a lumberjack match. Also says he has a surprise for Sanders tonight.
What was the surprise for Sanders?
His match.
Mike Sanders had a match?
Fuck. What?
I don't think there was a surprise.
Wait, what's the... maybe it was the... does a promo? I don't know. What the fuck? How did they not come back?
I don't know what his surprise... Because Mike Sanders has a surprise for somebody else later on.
Yeah.
But that hasn't even been established yet. Cat does not have a surprise for Mike Sanders. Nothing happens.
No. Team Canada comes out. Stevie Ray is sick about this. Like, dude, they're just coming to the ring. Calm down.
Yeah, how dare these Canadians be here?
Storm asks if he can be serious for a moment.
I love it.
And notes, this country is wearing on him. He says he's here to give General Erection a preview via this upcoming six-man tag. Gets you are a wanker chance.
You are a wanker, not you're a wanker. You are a wanker. I love that.
And then Storm wants the anthem played, which brings us into Team Canada versus MIA. And during MIA's entrance, commentary is fully cut out. And I'm like, ooh, I just want to live here.
Right? It's kind of nice because we're in the dubbed moment of like the dubbed over theme. Can't hear anything anybody's saying.
General Erection immediately runs in from the crowd, brawls with Lance Storm. And Mark Madden calls it a sneak attack. Tony Schiavone.
Nothing wrong with that.
It's like, what?
Huh?
For some reason, Chavo is not wearing his camo pants. I don't know if they got dirty or he lost them or what, but...
Yeah, the whole time this match was going, too, the wall seems to have forgotten what Chavo's MIA name is because he's going Chavo, Chavo, the whole time.
Emily, do you remember what it is?
It's Lieutenant Loco.
Yes.
Because it's... That always tripped me up because, to me, Lash LaRue We've should be Lieutenant this, Loco because you, yeah. LL... Yeah. Whatever.
Like, God, Corporal Chavo.
That would make more sense, though. Alliteration.
AWOL tags in, takes out everybody. He wants a chokeslam, but Storm drop kicks him in the back of the knee. Chavo hits a frog splash. Ilya Skipper follows up with a belly-to-belly and then awkwardly tags in Storm. Loco counters a suplex into a tornado DDT and Cajun tags in as AWOL and Jim Duggan just brawl at the ramp. Like, oh, okay,
that's it. Yeah.
Cajun drop kicks Ilya off the apron through a table at ringside. Major Guns then slides a chair into the ring. Corporal Cajun grabs it, but Lance Storm drop kicks the chair into Cajun's face, hits a chair shot to Loco, and then goes to pin Cajun, who kicks out. Cajun locks in a small package. Storm kicks out of that, locks in a maple leaf, and wins.
Cool.
Why didn't you just do the pin? What was the point of the other 30 seconds? Thoughts on this match as a whole?
No.
No. Yeah, it's a quick match with just so many things happen that don't matter.
Yeah, I think you said it really well while we were watching this because we were both feverishly typing and writing and I was like, oh my God, it's going so fast. And you're like, yeah, it's going so fast, but nothing's happening.
Yeah. Like, we're just like, oh, there go AWOL and Jim Duggan. What are they doing? I don't know. Why are they leaving? I don't know.
They're bored.
Oh, good transition because who's backstage but Steve Borden?
Huh.
Yeah, it is just Steve Borden. He's not in makeup.
Yeah, he's not in any kind of makeup, which makes his stupid little goatee look even stupider. Genuinely, it's the worst hair, facial hair in wrestling at this point. It's real bad.
We then get Shane Douglas and Tori Wilson heading to the ring. Douglas shits on Australia. He gets flipped off, which is censored and called a wanker.
You're a wanker.
Douglas calls out Conan and the Filthy Animals, and commentary's like, is he challenging them to a handicap match? Yes, he is. So yeah, Conan, Ray, and Tigress come out. Conan calls Douglas mentally handicapped, which is actually the verbiage he used.
Yes, not the offensive language that was used on TNA on our last episode.
Conan also says he's going to have sex with Tori.
Sure.
And that brings us to Shane Douglas versus Ray Mysterio, Conan, and Tigress.
The inclusion of Tigress here felt very silly to me.
Conan hits his rolling clothesline. Tigress hits a face full of stuff and then stays there for Rey to hit a Bronco Buster like behind around her.
This was very strange.
Douglas rolls the outside and then maces both men and holds Tigress for Tori to slap.
I will give it to Rey when he got maced. They use the pepper spray mace fairly often, I feel like, in WCW in this era and like prior to this. Rey has sold it the best. He actually sells it like it's real pepper spray. The other guy's like, oh man, I got something in my eye.
Well, I wonder would it benefit him to have one less eye?
Yes. Actually, genuinely, yes. If you get pepper sprayed with only one eye, then like,
but
you have a 50% chance of just blocking that
but,
by like.
But again, with the kidneys,
it's the same argument as the kidneys.
Is it going to be more exposed and it's going to get like into your like blood?
I'm thinking you can like see the mace come and turn so that the eyeless side gets it, and you can be like wearing sunglasses or something. And when you like when it stops, you just take the sunglasses off, like swerve, cop. There was no eye there for you to mace, motherfucker.
Or you just be Scott Steiner who tells Russo to knock that shit off.
We need to talk to somebody who doesn't have a kidney and can be like, "Can I punch you just for science?"
Douglas and Tori handcuff Conan to the ropes to make him watch them attack Rey. Douglas hits like a single spinning tombstone pile driver. It's like, oh, he's dead.
He's dead.
That's literally it. And to add to it, Tony Schiavone's like, hit him with a shoulder breaker there.
Nope.
So we'll get a follow-up on this later. But Shane Douglas did outsmart the Filthy Animals, and there's no repercussions for doing shit like this. So yeah, why not?
Why not?
The perfect event are bickering, and Coach Nash comes in to mediate. The audio is terrible on this. I could not make out what anyone said.
No idea.
Booker T is here now, fucking late for the show. Like
classic champions, though, you know, they're always late.
Rey Mysterio is getting loaded into an ambulance, and there's a notable person helping him get in there.
It's my boy.
It's Billy Kidman.
Billy's back. Billy made the trip to Australia, I guess.
Let's move into our next match. Match number, I guess, technically four.
We're already four matches. This is how we got to 10.
Boogie Nights, Canada MIA, the handicap match, and then this. It's those 70s guys, Mike Awesome and Crowbar.
Come on, we could have had something better.
There's the perfect event with Coach Nash. Nash joins commentary, and Mike Awesome has abandoned your boy because he comes out in the like proper 70s gear and then he just wrestles in his normal gear.
He was doing that sometimes before too. Like sometimes he would stay in the dress pants and the loafers, but other times Mike Awesome would take off the pants and like go into the Speedo and knee pads and stuff. So that's not out of character for Mike Awesome, but it did leave Crowbar a little high and dry. Why aren't they giving Crowbar the same Farrah Fawcett hair treatment that they're trying to give Mike Awesome? He could do it. He's got enough hair. He'd look fantastic.
Did you catch Kevin Nash's first note on commentary?
Gotta bring Scott back.
There was one before, I think.
Oh, no.
He goes, what the fuck was that theme song? We're getting rid of that. Because it's Sean Stasiak's Mr. Perfect ripoff.
Oh, no, I missed that. Yeah,
the first thing he says, I'm like, all right. And then it's, yeah, we're gonna bring Scott back. Bit into the match, Awesome and Crowbar had a sequence of splashes proving that, like, hey, just have them be a good wrestling team. We don't
they
need to do
just
this whole
wrestle.
Thing.
Yeah, imagine Crowbar and Mike Awesome as an actual just normal-ass tag team without the weird gimmick. They'd be fantastic.
I also feel like they could do a great match together.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, against each other, you mean?
Yeah, because, like, Crowbar will bump around like a boss for him. Palumbo hits a triangle dropkick, and then they do the one thing they didn't want to happen on the floor with a baseball slide. Crowbar then hits a double baseball slide, and Mike Awesome hits a running dive to the floor onto the perfect event. Back in the ring later, Chuck Palumbo hits a terrifying electric chair drop on Crowbar, which like almost drops him on his fucking neck. Mm-hmm. And right as he says this, Stevie Ray goes, Chuck Palumbo, you know, definitely a top 10 wrestler here in WCW. And everyone in commentary is like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Even Kevin Nash, who was like his coach, is like, yeah? But Tony Schiavone was the one that was like most vocally like, really? Chuck Palumbo's top 10? I don't think that Stevie Ray can name 10 WCW wrestlers.
Let's see, how many guys have wrestled so far? Has it been 10?
Maybe. Like Booker, number one, number two, me.
Palumbo then almost drops Crowbar on his head on a head scissor and super kicks him to the floor. Commentary sure is here, man. I
kept looking over because every time they would say something on commentary, a little annoying, Nick would like audibly gasp. or like just sigh. And I was like, Nick, you gotta tune them out. You can't keep watching and listening to them like this. And that's when you mentioned like the audience mix was different. So the crowd wasn't as loud. So it was harder to drown out commentary.
Yeah. Also wants a diving splash, but Palumbo stops him and Seabury's like, see, top 10. It's like,
Jesus Christ.
Wait a minute. I'm remembering. Oh God, this is, there's precedent for this. I guess it's totally in the future.
The top 10 bit?
When Booker T was on commentary, he was notorious for referring to people as being in his fave five.
Oh, Jesus.
And there were about 20 people in the fave five in a given week.
Sure. It's like MySpace is your top eight. It rotates.
Stasiak hits a superplex. Awesome hits a belly to belly. Palumbo just comes in to attack him.
Just like, coming it was, in.
Like the sloppiest I've seen they've done. I'm just like, yep. Like, not, no guys of anything.
Nope.
They do the one thing they didn't want to happen spot again. And Austin hits a diving splash and wins. Perfect event. Try to fight each other, but Kevin Nash physically intervenes. Nash makes them hug for a second, but they're clearly not made up. And it's a pretty bad show so far.
Yeah.
I will peek at other people's reports, and they're like, oh man, now that Russo's gone, it's so much better. I'm like, it doesn't feel like a Russo show, but it's still not good.
Tell me you're not watching without telling me you're not watching.
But my main takeaway from this was, yeah, I wish Crowbar and Mike Awesome didn't have these shit gimmicks.
Yeah, I didn't get enough Crowbar in this match.
I'm like, just put Mike Awesome with Team Canada already, all right? I don't care he's not Canadian. Fine.
Yeah. Get rid of this gimmick. Does he go to Team Canada?
Yes.
That's probably good.
I know Duggan, I think he just leaves or his contract's up or whatever.
What does that mean for Crowbar? Is Crowbar gone?
No, he's... I think he's around to the end. I think we've noted he...
I just don't... If he's not going to Team Canada, I fear that this was his last potential breath of a push.
Yeah, it doesn't help in the last 2 months the hardcore division dies too, but yeah. I think he's mostly around. I watch next week and be like, oh, sorry, it's actually the last week of Crowbar. Yeah.
You're no longer a reliable source on when someone's last match or showing is.
No, the matches I know. It's the showings.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, which I don't think I said in the podcast. I did ask ChatGPT, and guess what? It was no fucking help with. Cause,
any of this shit?
Yeah.
Yeah, because all of the information on the internet that it sources from, like, Wikipedia or random blogs, they're incorrect, because that's what you're getting your info on.
Crowbar's last match we'll see him in is January 29th.
Okay.
So we have some time. Let's move on to backstage. Pamela Paulshock is with Shane Douglas. I hope you're proud of yourself.
Yeah. She like calls him out for what? Just like...
macing the filthy animals.
Is that what... Okay. Yeah. I couldn't tell what she was calling. She's just mad. I feel like she's kind of channeling her her inner Gene, where he would just kind of like yell at guys like, what do you think you're doing? Who do you think you are?
Shane Douglas calls out Booker T for a title match later. He's like, I'm tired of waiting for an opportunity.
I'm tired of this, Grandpa. That's fair.
Tori then says Pamela should worry about her own job and then calls her a bitch. Pamela with comeback of the century.
Right back gotcha.
No.
Oh, wait, no. Takes one to know one.
Got him.
Zingers. I'm rubber, you're glue.
Then get David Flair approaching Mike Sanders, and I went, this is about to be an acting masterclass.
Mm-hmm, sure was.
Flair wants Buff Bagwell in a DNA match at Halloween Havoc.
Paternity on a pole, baby.
Sanders tells Flair not to be SOL. It's like, do you know what that means?
There's no way. He does not know what SOL means. He just told him, don't be shit out of luck. That doesn't grammatically make sense, yeah. Mike.
Our next match, match number 5. It's Kiwi with Paisley versus Johnny the Bull. When Kiwi and Paisley come out, Stevie Ray calls Paisley the worst yak of them all.
That's your future sister-in-law, Steve.
I needed to look something up. I kind of forgot to. What do you think? Is Stevie Ray married?
Yes.
I don't. The man seems to hate women.
Oklahoma was married. Mark Madden's married. Vince Russo's married.
Per Wikipedia, it does not list him as being married.
Was he ever married?
God, Google's AI. Amazing. Stevie Ray, the WWE wrestler, was never married to Charmel.
Didn't ask.
I don't think he's married.
Oh, I think I have a worse Google AI answer. I typed Stevie Ray wrestler wife. AI. Stevie Ray, the professional wrestler, is married to Kaylee Ray, who also wrestles under the name Alba Fire.
Those are also different wrestlers. Those are two different wrestlers.
Oh my god, yeah, they are.
Those are two different.
Stop using AI, guys.
Sorry, back to John of the Bull.
Sorry, yeah.
I'd say back to this match, but literally, Quibi hits a monkey flip, and John of the Bull breaks his ankle. And so Quibi pins him, and that's it. It doesn't look good when he lands, but it's not a Sid situation where it's like, oh, wow, he totally did. It's like, you see it and you go, okay, it makes sense, he got hurt.
Yeah, so they did show this on repeat a couple of times, and I was scared how many times they were showing it on repeat. But I couldn't see a break. I believe that it happened. Obviously, it happened.
This is the second match we've seen John of the Bull where he gets hurt.
Oh, really? What was the first time?
He does the springboard leg drop to the floor onto the mats.
Oh, and like, he breaks his pelvis, doesn't
he? Yeah, like, God. Shatters his like urethra or whatever. Ugh. And I mean, two injuries in 1 year, that's got to be like a career killer. And Emily, I don't know if you're aware of this, but he goes on to wrestle as a wrestler named Relic. And John of the Bull will be back before we're done.
Oh, we're just gonna glance past it this time. All right.
He does not. His next step is not Relic. He does come back as John of the Bull a little bit later. Admittedly, not looking good for my. I thought Maria was gonna come back.
No, I don't think Maria's coming back.
I think
back.
She does.
Wait, why?
I don't know. I swear I've heard she does.
The internet is not reliable. The internet just told me Stevie Ray is married to Alba Fire. No.
And Kaylee Ray.
You can't believe everything you read on the internet.
Admittedly, I feel bad for John of the Bull because, you know, he's part of a group that's actually getting some momentum. And now it's like, oh, you're gone. And if they do a thing with the Maria, like, clearly you were going to be involved with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This just sucks. Like, you don't wish this on anybody.
No, but I mean, admittedly, he's not the most talented. So.
No, but he was fun.
Yeah. Maybe now he can have all the cheese sandwiches he wants.
Oh, I hope they're giving him lots of cheese sandwiches in the hospital.
Next up, we get the Cat and Miss Jones coming out to the ring. The Cat immediately hates on Mark Madden, calls him fat. And the Cat says WCW doesn't need two commissioners, calls out Mike Sanders, which this is the best I have for his surprise.
I guess?
Mike Sanders then comes out to the ring and is like, oh, you want to face me? No, we're going to do it Halloween Havoc. And then the Cat's like, all right, winner gets total control of, like, commissionership.
Okay.
So I'm glad at least it's going to get settled.
Yeah. I don't want to see that match, though. That sounds like a terrible fucking match.
Mike Sanders brings out Chronic to attack the Cat. Cat says something unintelligible. And Sanders tells Chronic to go take out the Cat. And they head towards the ring, but Goldberg's music hits.
What?
He sneaks into the ring the back way and then says, come to the ring. Sanders is like, no, we're not doing this match tonight. Then Brian Clark cuts him off and Chronic cut a fucking promo and it's not a good promo.
No, they refer to themselves as bears, which, like, happy pride, I guess.
There's only one bear in wrestling and that's Vader.
That's true.
Jim Ross would always call him like a stinky grizzly bear.
Jesus.
My exact note for this is Brian Clark cuts him off and sure cuts a promo. Brian Adams then shouts a bit about Goldberg and Halloween Havoc and, like, I think they were trying to do a work shoot thing of, like, sometimes wrestlers buy into their own hype of, like, basically...
Yeah, I wasn't following what they were actually saying.
Would you believe it? Crush, not a good promo.
No, what? That's crazy. Shaka, brah.
Sanders tells him to save it for Havoc. Goldberg yells, says Chronic is next, and then security keeps everyone separated. Because, whoa, almost too exciting, so...
Whoa, everybody needs to calm down.
We didn't get Mike Sanders backstage with David Flair. He has something for him.
Which, that's all.
Yeah.
We're kind of blasting through this episode, I feel, which is okay. I don't think that this warrants a lot of lingering.
Match number 6. One of our lengthier ones. It is Shane Douglas versus Booker T for the WCW title. There's some weird editing here, because I gave Peacock shit, because, like, we cut to Shane Douglas on the apron, and they start his dubbed music there. Mm-hmm. Apparently, they're cutting out Scott Steiner on commentary... Just shitting on Torrey Wilson.
Oh, good.
Like, talking about, like, he needs Clearasil or something.
Yeah, he's, like, talking about her face. Like, oh, yeah, even after 6 hours in makeup, she still looks like a troll or whatever he's going for. He's like, we need better sponsors, like Clearasil.
Yeah, I found the video on YouTube, and the comments were lovely.
Oh, you read the YouTube comments?
Scott Snyder calling out how overrated Torrey is. Also, the title refers to it as beats up her skinny boyfriend.
Her skinny boyfriend?
Yes, Kidman.
Oh, yeah. I guess they're still dating at this point.
Yeah, they're dating WWE, too.
I forget.
But yeah, Steiner's on commentary, and Booker comes out, and Steiner is muted twice during Booker's entrance alone.
Yeah, I don't know what he's saying.
And Scott Steiner commentary is weird in this because he's like 25% in character, but he's just kind of providing like good analysis.
I liked him on commentary very much. I thought that he was funny. I thought he was smart. He was significantly more informed than Stevie Ray.
Yeah. At one point, he goes, why is he working over the neck? Everyone knows Booker has a bad knee. Go after the knee.
Yes. That's great.
We cut to backstage. Like, as the match is starting, Conan is like, Tigress, wait here. I got to handle something. So I'm like, oh, cool. So we're just waiting for interference now. I don't know why we had to see that.
To remind you that something is going to happen, so please don't click away.
They feel each other out at the start, go corner to corner. Booker hits a sidekick and chops as he tries to get the crowd into it.
Oh, I also wanted to mention when we're talking about commentary, especially with Stevie Ray, I noted it during this match, but this is like the third or fourth time he's mentioned it. He will not stop referring to the Holyfield-Tyson match.
Oh, yes.
He keeps bringing it up, saying like, oh, they have a bigger feud than Holyfield and Tyson. Like, this guy will go toe-to-toe with Holyfield. Like, what? This is literally the fourth time that he has mentioned it in this show. Did it just happen? When does that match happen?
I don't know if they had another match more recently, but like, it's definitely before this, because if you remember, we got Judge Mills Lane to officiate the one boxing match, and he was the ref who like allowed the ear bite to happen. And yeah, and I guess before we move on from commentary during this match, do you want to talk about Scott Steiner's accusation of Stevie Ray and Booker?
He's accusing them of not actually being brothers.
Which, he's done this before.
He asks, like, does Booker even know who his mom is? And Stevie's like, hey, yo, like, that's my fucking brother. Like, almost shoot. And Scott's like, you guys are built from different places. They're, like, not geographically next to each other.
Yeah, Stevie Ray's built from Poughkeepsie, and yeah, Booker's built from Harlem. And then he's like, what's your last name? Ray. It's like, I guess Booker's his T, so it's different last names.
I just like Scott Steiner putting Stevie Ray in his place just a little bit, even if it's unfounded. It's just, you know, shut the fuck up, Stevie.
Booker tumbles to the floor, and I think there's an edit of them not doing that spot right the first time.
Yeah.
They brawl on the floor. Steiner implies he's going to get involved, but just doesn't there. Douglas hits a diving clothesline and a lazy rest hold, but follows that up with a front falling suplex and his rolling neck snap. Douglas stays in the neck, but Booker hits a neck breaker of his own and then hits a spine buster and a scissor kick. I keep saying that's it for commentary, but Booker does the kick and Scott Steiner goes, he's going to go for the scissor kick. I know it. Which, admittedly, I think it's the first time commentary has called that a scissor kick and not an axe kick.
Oh, well, that's like the most high energy move in this match. This match is, I don't want to say slow because slow isn't putting it right.
Plotting.
It's muddy. It feels like they are wrestling through mud to get at each other. It is slow. It is just like groggy. It's weird. It's a very weird energy.
Get a Harlem sidekick, and then Tori wraps a chain around Shane Douglas's fist. Douglas hits a chain shot and like goes for another one, but Billy Kidman runs out to stop him.
My boy!
Literally not the person we saw who was going to come interfere in this.
Nope.
Kimmy gets pushed off the apron and like knocks slightly into Medasia. So Scott Steiner doesn't like that, attacks Kidman.
This could not have been more of an accident.
Yeah.
He like stumbled backwards and accidentally like tapped her. Scott's like, absolutely not. You're not touching my woman. Like, he didn't.
Conan then makes the save. Is taken out by Jeff Jarrett, who's fucking here now. Yeah.
Yeah. Not in Surfer Sting. Back in his fucking Pikachu cosplay.
Shane Douglas dives into a bookend. Booker wins because, oh yeah, there's a match going on
right here.
Why did that match require five people interfering?
Because it's the champion. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, match, it's fine-ish. But yeah, the end got so messy that it's like, oh yeah, there was a whole other portion of this match.
Yep. That all happened.
I also never bought for a second Shane Douglas was going to win.
Oh, God, no. Was this for the title?
Or
was this, then yeah, absolutely fucking not.
They go backstage. Pamela Paulshock is with Scott Steiner, Medasia, and Jeff Jarrett. First up is Medasia, who yells at Billy Kidman in Spanish.
Yeah, we're doing the foreign language promos a lot today, huh?
But, like, Alex writes German.
Medasia might be Spanish. She might be.
Emily, she was born in Seattle.
Is she, like, Cuban or something? Like, does her, is she, like, her family? You can be Spanish from Seattle.
She is the eldest of four children and is of Norwegian, Irish, Spanish, and French descent.
Spanish. See? It's there. Oh,
she attended school in both America and Mexico.
Ah, there you go. There you go.
Yep. Oh, she apparently speaks Spanish fluently and has worked as an interpreter.
See?
Now, why she did this? They're in Australia. I'm like...
You know, it just adds a little bit of extra heat.
Steiner wants to fight Kim in the night. Both Madeja and Steiner get censored. And Jeff Jarrett calls Pamela a blonde slap nut and I guess challenges Conan.
Sure.
Okay. We get David Flair in the ring and Ric Flair comes out in a suit to join commentary.
Yeah.
And Emily, who is David Flair out here to face?
Well, I originally thought that this was going to be like a time filler segment to fill for Johnny the Bull breaking his foot. Because, you know, David comes out and then Rick comes out. Maybe it's going to be a father-son moment. That's always good to pad time. No, Rick goes to commentary and Goldberg's music hits.
Which, if you're Mike Sanders, aren't you kind of trying to get rid of Goldberg?
But aren't you also trying to get rid of David Flair?
They have not had any beef before whatever the segment earlier was.
Get him out of my line of sight. Just go get demolished by this big guy.
Yeah, it's David Flair versus Goldberg. And the music hit and I went, yes, kill him.
Yeah, Nick got very excited. Bless him. David tried. He tried at the beginning of this matchup.
Yep. David tries to attack Goldberg from behind, hits chops. Goldberg just punches David once, hits him with a spear. David does a great ragdoll.
Yep.
And then...
Learned from the best.
Goldberg hits like a delayed jackknife, like holds them up in the air for a bit. I know David Flair's light, but it still requires two to tango.
That's
there.
That's true.
And yeah, hits a jackhammer and Goldberg wins. So I guess he's 8-0 now?
Yeah, I guess so.
I'm like, this was perfect. No notes.
No notes.
Ric Flair 10/10, best bit. Stares down Goldberg and I'm like, I don't know what to make of this.
You killed my son.
But we also did have a similar segment to this like a year and a half ago.
Yeah,
but... I remember noting, yes, kill him.
Well, yeah. I just don't think they know what to do with David. And just having him be fodder for Goldberg to spear, that's, you know, probably the best.
You could have stopped that before at David. You can just say they don't know what to do.
Well, yeah.
Backstage, again, Pamela Paulshock with Kidman and Conan.
Pamela's putting in work tonight.
And Kidman's just back in the Filthy Animals. Like, oh, okay.
Welcome back.
Yeah, like sloppily done, but I'm fine with the result, so yeah, I don't complain so much.
Exactly.
Conan mocks Shane Douglas again, which it's getting less charming each time. It's like,
yeah,
it's like, oh, he figured out he could do this and now he feels need to show it off every week.
Yeah,
because even here's like, yeah, I'm doing an impression of you. Yeah. He also says he's gonna bust Jarrett's ass. He also got censored during this promo because of course he did. Everything is all the points were about him.
Sure.
Let's move on to...
Oh, man, with uncensoring, do you think that we'll never get another Best at Sex promo?
We'll see what happens.
I don't think that the PTC would like the Best at Sex promos very much.
So on to match number 8. Oh, yeah, because David Flair was 7.
Yes.
Scott Steiner versus Kidman. And if you were hoping for a match more competitive than the last one, you kind of get it, but not by much.
Don't really look here.
Steiner grabs a mic. He does an Ozzy, Ozzy, Ozzy chant. And then,
I loved it.
And then he goes, no, I got something else. And I think he does Ozzy, Ozzy, asshole or something.
But he hits he comes out. I think he really just wanted to yell Ozzy, Ozzy, Ozzy because he hits it so enthusiastically. Ugh, I loved it. I'm actually a big fan of Scott Steiner this episode.
Billy Kidman's music hits. And then we cut to Scott Steiner beating up a fan.
We go to the wide shot first. Well,
a very, very wide shot.
And then we go back to ringside where Steiner's just pummeling a fan.
Yeah. And they like carry the fan like out and
like Kidman, past Billy.
Yeah, Kidman gives him a wide berth. And by all accounts, I think it might have been a shoot.
I think it was.
I think it was just like because they brought him past Kidman. Short of Kidman doing another entrance, it's like, how else are you going to do this? You just got to show it.
Yeah. Yeah, but Scott Steiner did not hold back on this guy. I don't know what he did or if it was just that he jumped over.
Yeah, I mean, wrestlers don't take kindly to that.
No, it's of like course not.
Like, there's been plenty of times of them getting dragged out of the ring, and it's like, nope, I'm going to get my fucking shots in. Like, I think specifically of Scott Hall just booting a fucking guy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame them for being, you know, defensive of their craft or whatever, but... It was rough.
Steiner beats down Kidman immediately, and you noted no face mask on Steiner this week.
No. Yeah, we got his full face again.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it's because, hey, he's not taking any bumps in this one.
Yeah.
Kidman hits a pop-up dropkick, immediately is put back down. Steiner hits a pressing press slam and does push-ups.
But it looks really good.
Steiner T-bones Kidman and goes for a powerbomb, but Kidman counters with a face jam.
He got a face buster in. I'm not calling it a face jam. I swear to God, if you tell me that it's a face jam again, I'm going to cry.
Kidman goes up top. I don't know if it was going to be for a shooting star press or an elbow. Doesn't matter. Steiner stops him, hits a like top rope angle slam kind of thing, and locks in the recliner, and Kidman's out. And Jesus, like, I don't want to make Steiner look good, but like, guys, stop burying Billy Kidman.
He killed Kidman. I'm just happy that Billy Kidman's here. I'm happy to see him. I know he's being buried, but he's back on the Filthy Animals. So that's a good thing. I don't know.
But, I mean, good job building up Steiner, like, as a formidable challenger. Like a yeah. And then match number 9, very similar kind of thing, or very similar vibe to this one, because it's Conan with Tigress versus Jeff Jarrett. And I'm like, it doesn't help that we can see on, the Peacock previews that like, all these, like, oh, it goes, like, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Conan does his promo and does the go-ahead feel, that's enough. And that's as he enough. Said that... As he says, that's enough. Jeff Jarrett must agree. He attacks Conan from behind.
That's enough.
Conan hits a hip toss and a rolling clothesline. Jarrett jaws with the crowd, pulls Conan out, throws him around ringside. Jarrett then uses the top of like an actual just padded chair.
Yeah, like a sturdy chair, not a folding chair.
Yes, uses that as a weapon. And then hits a light folding chair shot. They just kind of do some stuff before a back kick and a face buster. Conan puts Jarrett in the corner and goes for the, like, Uso, Umaga, Bloodline hip attack in the corner. And they picked the worst angle for this because you can just see Conan hits nothing but turnbuckle.
Yep. He whiffed it so hard. Like, there was... You could land a plane in the air between the two men.
Tigress gets in the ring to hit a face full of stuff. Shane Douglas and Tori Wilson come out to stop her. Jarrett goes to guitar Conan, who moves out of the way, so Jarrett hits Tigress instead with the guitar. I think he uses the like neck as a weapon for a second, and then hits a stroke on Conan with Tigress just dead in the ring. The ref like has to like step over her and be like, all right, 1, 2, 3.
Excuse me? Like, she's unconscious behind him. Like, maybe look at the dead woman behind you before you count this pin. No.
Post-match, Jeff Jarrett locks in a scorpion deathlock. We cut the Sting backstage, who's mad and throws a chair, but... doesn't come out.
Nope.
We just covered 3 matches in a row, and I'm like, I think it took up 10 minutes.
Did anything happen?
Yeah. No. Not at all.
This is why we say it feels like a house show, because nothing is happening. Although this one does at least feel a little... like I still stand by it. It feels a little bit better than last week. The bar is low.
Yeah. You know what this feels like? This feels like, because it is, all right, it's the last show of this, you know, trip abroad, and we're going home once we're done with the show.
Just get it done.
Yep. Well, on this trip abroad, apparently Kevin Nash went to a local brewery.
He got to have a little field trip. Yeah,
we just see a package. Like, oh, I guess that's why he was hungover.
Yeah, he went to a brewery. He did the whole brewery tour, learning how to like make the beer. And then he got to create his own beer label. It was the Big Sexy with 4 X's, True Brew.
Yeah, I couldn't tell whether it was a new beer they made that they were naming after him, or if it was you get to print a special label.
I think it was the label.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he got a special beer.
But that brings us to our main event, the hungover Kevin Nash versus Sting. And yeah, it's a lumberjack match.
And they bring out the whole roster. And by whole roster, I mean fucking Booker T is a lumberjack.
Yeah, it's like, I think literally everyone who made the trip is a lumberjack.
Yes,
I think
including the women.
I think maybe just to like get everyone another payday.
Maybe, yeah.
Like, hey, on paper, we should have made good money from this because we sold out the thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, Booker T and the Cat being out here, it was like,
oh. Why? This is weird.
Especially because, like, it goes against what I just said of, hey, let's get everybody on the card.
Mm-hmm.
He was already on the card.
Right, yeah. You already got your payday, brother.
I mean, he's literally just here for the end of this.
Yeah.
Because I did note, there's no Scott Steiner, no Jeff Jarrett, and no Goldberg.
Oh, yeah, I guess
they
that's
are,
true.
They are too big to be...
But not the WCW champion?
No.
Jesus.
And he also didn't have any of his like arm bands or anything, and it kind of looked like he wasn't aware he had to do this until a little later. I also know Natural Born Thrillers, but they come out with Kevin Nash.
They do, yeah. The whole fucking army with him.
Yeah. This is once again where I had to note Stevie Ray hating yaks.
Yaks.
Because there's women at ringside, and he's just like, there's no fucking place for them here. What are they doing? Like, dude, I get it.
Why do you hate women?
So it's a Kevin Nash match, so we didn't do it for this one, but this match prompted an idea for us.
So moving forward, we might be playing a new game. You know, sometimes we play Time to Blade, sometimes we play Who's That Pokemon, Does It Slap had a brief moment in the sun. I think it's time for a new game that we're thinking we're going to call Time to Corner.
Yes. I don't know what it was for this one, but man, I think we might have to round to milliseconds for some of these.
Yeah.
It's the first thing they do, and I'm like, all right. Nash hits his framed up elbow and a foot choke. Sting slips out of a scoop slam, drop kicks Nash to the floor. The faces of the roster stomp Nash, and Sting works over the legs of Nash when he's back in. We never get the flip side of this.
Mm.
We never get Sting thrown out and the heels work him over.
No, you're right. We actually don't.
Sting locks in a scorpion deathlock, but the Thrillers pull Nash to safety and then like huddle around him to like protect him.
Well, because he's a sweet angel baby. He's their coach. We must protect him at all costs.
Sting tries to crotch Nash getting in the ring and goes for a Stinger splash, but Nash gets his boot up and like, I'm amazed they actually did this spot because it looked rough on everyone involved.
Yeah.
Nash hits a sidewalk slam and then locks in a rest hold as Scott Steiner just runs out to attack Booker. They do the worst Irish whip I've ever seen because they go to like do like the Irish whip reversal and it's going to send Steiner directly up the ramp.
Yeah.
Steiner makes a 90 degree left turn and crashes into the barricade.
Yep. Yeah, we had to back it up because you're like, look at the physics on this one.
And I know the physics on Irish whip are already rough.
Yeah.
But yeah. Literally everyone brawls and people come out from the back to join the brawl. I'm like, how weren't you already out here?
Yeah, there's more of you?
Oh, yeah, I think like Conan and Jarrett run out and
Jarrett definitely runs out.
Sting starts to come back, hits a Stinger splash. We get a ref bump and then another Stinger splash. This is where Jarrett is because he sneaks out with a guitar and is just like badly crouched behind Kevin Nash in the corner.
Oh, my God, yeah. How does Sting not see him?
He's also holding a guitar, more of him.
Yeah.
Sting goes for another Stinger splash in the corner and gets some serious height so that Jeff Jarrett can swing over Kevin Nash and hit Sting out of midair with the guitar.
That was so crisp and so cool. If you want to find anything from this show to like go find and go watch just to be like, yeah, I saw something from it. This move. This is so cool. I've never seen him do this since or before. This is what the guitar shots need to be. These are so fucking cool.
Nash lays on Sting and Charles Robinson, I guess, doesn't think this is the finish of the match because, like, he counts two, does a big, slow three, pulls short, and then goes three. It's like, oh.
Did nobody communicate?
I guess not. Think to add to it, post-smash, Kevin Nash gets him out. I'm like, what? Come on.
Yeah, he pulled the titties out late.
Him and Jarrett celebrate, and this had the biggest house show vibe, think of anything.
Yeah, probably. To see all your faves. Everybody's here.
It wasn't a badly worked match, but
it's Kevin Nash.
Nothing on the line. No, like no stakes of any sort.
I'm still confused why we felt the need to have this match. Like with that, going back to the whole Mike Sanders cat conversation.
Just pop the crowd.
That is house show. That's house show reasoning.
Yeah, and this was overall an absolute mess of a show. Like yes. Again, like actual TV time. It's an hour and 35 minutes before commercials. There were 10 matches.
That's too many.
Yeah.
That's too many matches.
And I think the only people who didn't get an entrance was either cut from Peacock and then I think David Flair. I think that's it.
Probably. Woof.
So yeah, how's the show feeling now that Russo's gone?
I'm wary to pass judgment until we're back in the States. Back when we were on neutral ground where he would have been, because we knew for a long time he wasn't going to be at these shows. So there is a chance that they are still going off of what he planned at these shows. Once we get back home, I feel like maybe we can actually pass our judgment.
You're giving him too much credit. They didn't probably have a full plan. They were told, all right, just keep it going. Whatever is kind of like what's already been set up. keep going.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if they're not starting from blank, I mean,
yeah,
they're just taking what Russo was doing, and if there was a potential like next step for if there was anything, even just like a blip, then they're just gonna go with that. So it is still kind of under Russo's finger. But I think I'll be able to judge the show better when it's back on neutral territory. Because if this is it moving forward, I think I'm busy. I don't think I can do this anymore. I'm overcommitted to doing other things. I'm so sorry.
Come on. We got like 15 months left.
If this is what I have to like spend 4 hours of my week doing, I don't know, brother.
I have heard the show eventually gets somewhat promising. We'll see.
I don't believe you.
In all honesty, I think some of the bigger names coming back may actually help the show a bit.
Yeah, you're probably right. Just like having a little bit of star power would make a difference.
Yeah, because say what you will about like how motivated they're going to be. It's like they're still able to pull out good stuff.
Yeah.
And like hold your attention.
Right. And really, that's what we need at this point. The idea of the young new blood, yeah, that's a great idea if it's utilized correctly. And it just wasn't.
Yeah.
So, like, we brought in all these new guys, like the Natural Born Thrillers or whatever, and we're still pushing Jeff Jarrett and Sting and Nash and Goldberg, like, all the same guys.
You put them on TV, but you didn't put them over, so I just don't care about any of them.
So now you have a mid and lower card of full of just guys
doing
bad shit.
And you keep having people turn face without actually any motivation, so no one wants to root for them.
Right.
Well, we're back in the States in the next one.
Zippity-doo-dah.
And then we're at Halloween Havoc.
How are you feeling about Halloween Havoc?
Not great, Bob.
Cool. Can't wait.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of faith in a show main evented by Goldberg versus Chronic, man.
No. Oh, God. Is that the main event?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
But before we get there on the next Nitro, we got to wrap this one up with Best Bit, Worst Bit, and MVP. Emily, what is your best bit?
Okay. I'm going to have a pattern here. I am going to give an honorable mention of my best bit to that Jeff Jarrett guitar shot at the end because that was so fucking cool. I'm going to give my best bit to Scott Steiner on commentary. He made me laugh. He was giving people shit when it needed to be given. He is the best bit of the show.
I actually think I am going to go with that Jeff Jarrett guitar shot.
It was so cool.
Yeah, perfect timing on that.
So good.
What about your worst bit?
Worst bit? Stevie Ray on commentary.
Yeah, I'm just commentary as a whole. I'm sorry, Tony, but you're getting lumped in.
No, I'm not lumping him in.
No, Mark Madden wasn't good either, so I can't just say, but it's commentary.
No, Stevie Ray was the worst bit. I respect your whole thing, but Stevie Ray.
And then, Emily, who is your MVP?
Tony Schiavone on commentary.
I think I am going to go with Steiner on this one, because he was good on commentary and looked real good during his match. And
yeah, no, I don't blame you. Like, If I was going to give Scott Steiner MVP, this would have been valid. But at this point, I haven't given him MVP for 136 episodes. I need to wait. There has to be a moment.
True. You know, admittedly, I'm not changing it, but can you imagine this in terms of value? Can you imagine this show without Tony Schiavone and it's just Mark Madden and Stevie Ray?
It's been bad.
Yeah.
Tony was trying his damn best.
Yeah, you would have been like, where's the German version of the episode?
Yeah, exactly. Let's like watch the dub, please. Yeah. No, but my best, worst, and MVP, all commentary.
Not a great sign for the show.
No!
Well, they didn't hype up a single thing for next week, so...
Yeah, we don't know anything happening next week. We know happening on Halloween Havoc.
Yeah, it's the go-home show, so I figure... I mean, I assume Buff Bagwell will be there next week,
because... Probably.
He wasn't here for 2 weeks of his big pay-per-view build... And was only here when he got unmasked and then didn't want his blood stolen, so...
Yeah. But now I guess we're stealing his DNA and putting it on a pole.
I don't know. The commentary doesn't know what that is either, but...
It could be a vial of red liquid or something. It's DNA!
But until then, you can follow us at social media at Butts in the Pod. Listen to all our back catalog, pretty much everywhere podcasts are found. And then over on the Patreon, we have finished TNA's new Monday Night Wars. And
we made it through.
Still TBD what our next arc's going to be. But before then, in a couple days, we're going to have our review of All Aboard the Lex Express.
Choo-choo, motherfuckers, we're getting on the express.
And then Rope Opera review.
Yeah.
How's that coming along, Emily?
Great.
Yeah.
It's a great book. I love it so much.
All that and much, much more over on the Patreon.
$5 a month gets you all of that. Patreon.com/buttsandseats.
Emily, any closing thoughts before we depart Australia?
Ugh, no. I think it's good that we're leaving.
Hey, we got an England one coming up.
Great. Can't wait.
Blimey.
Blimey. I'm sure that'll go just as well.
Hey, our British accents are better than our Australian ones, so.
Righto.
Yeah, maybe not. All right. Until we're back in the States with Nitro, I'm Nick.
I'm Emily.
And thanks for listening to the Butts and Seats podcast.
Bye.